Hello, lovelies. Welcome to this episode of Lessons from the Universe with Jennifer Hall. I look forward to sharing my channeled message with you today. And if you love it, please remember to like, share, review, and subscribe. So today I want to talk about envy. Envy comes in a lot of different forms. It's not just wanting what somebody else has. It's not just coveting thy neighbor's job or wife or house or whatever. It's also just resistance. I mean, have you ever seen somebody's success? Maybe it's a post on social media or whatever, and you don't want what they have, but you have trouble being happy for them, trouble being excited about what they've accomplished. Sometimes it's not even a longing for. Maybe you're questioning if they deserve it. They obviously deserve it, or it wouldn't have happened. Now, sometimes they deserve it in a backhanded way, right? I talk to a lot of people in business specifically who they watch people get promoted into higher positions that really don't have the qualifications for that position. They pass up somebody who is far superior, right? There's actually this whole movement in business right now to promote from within, but then recruit from outside the really, truly talented people. And the really, truly talented people end up trapped underneath someone who is not that. And then this whole sort of craziness of energy, right? The leadership is afraid, is envious of the person who is so talented, and the person who's so talented is envious or resentful of the person who is now above them and yet not creative, not quick. This happens. We see somebody and we're just not excited for them. Maybe it's too much to think excited. You know, I always like to opt for recognizing that someone's success is evidence that success exists. What we don't know is what's underneath it. We don't know if underneath it there is blood and sweat and tears and pain. We don't know what kind of education lies beneath it. We don't know what's there. If you find yourself seeing the same person again and again and feeling that resistance, what I'm going to call envy, then maybe you hide them, right? You know, in Facebook, you can hide someone. You don't unfriend them. Maybe you still love them. Maybe you snooze them for 30 days, or you just hide them so that you don't see their posts. But if you can't send genuine love for them, then you're hurting them and you when you resist. Now, I know other people who are extremely the opposite, right? I have one woman who is genuinely, incredibly happy and proud for others when they succeed. Like, deeply so. She's also extremely successful. And not successful in an empty way. Successful in a way that she has fought for and worked for. She has evidence in almost every slice of her life pie that she is an outstanding person. There has been a sacrifice, though. She's got a great family, but she doesn't give them as much time and full attention as would lead you to believe she had a truly balanced life. And so, if you look, if you dig, if you talk to her, you'll find out that she has a little bit. She flips it. She doesn't look at it as envy. She assumes it's judgment. She looks at the other mothers who are more engaged, and she decides she is being judged by them. But she actually has zero evidence that that is true. So that is another ugly head of envy. It pokes its way up through reality, when the truth is some of them probably envy her. And the real truth is none of us should envy anyone. There are secrets behind people. There are efforts we would never take. There are things, right? If you look at what someone is up to and you think, I would never do that. I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. I don't want to do that. Why can't we just be happy for them? Envy is an ugly thing. One of the seven deadly sins. Because it will make you sick. It will make you focus on what you don't have instead of what you do. It will lead your thoughts towards negativity. It will distract you from what you're trying to do with your own life. I've probably mentioned this before, but my college sweetheart's mom, still one of the most amazing people that I've ever known, just genuinely amazing woman. I miss her still. She gave me a poem one time, and one day I will find it, and then I will post it everywhere and blast it to the world because I kept it. But the gist of it was something maybe you've actually heard before, but it was, let me be so focused on my own growth, my own decisions, my own inner peace, that I have no time to criticize others. Now, we can replace the word criticize with lots of things. No time to envy them. No time to resent them. It's important, beloved, that we sit back and we look for that. We look for envy disguised as judgment, because that is real. Even judgment disguised as envy. Though I'm going to say you could probably pretty much exchange one for the other at any given time. So often people look for what's wrong with someone else because they are envious, because they want what they assume is their peace of mind, what they assume is their confidence. But beloved, I know every kind of person, and I can tell you for sure, just because you look at the outside of their life and it screams confidence does not mean that they are confident. In fact, often it is quite the opposite. And just because someone's life looks from the outside like a struggle does not mean that they are not confident. Because sometimes that is quite the opposite as well. We don't know what is going on within a person. It can be quite shocking when you look at someone from the outside and it is not aligned with what's going on in their inner world. A lot of clairvoyants and psychics and healers make this mistake too. In fact, I have one woman who is consistently, you know, she goes to every event she can and gets read by every random person that she can. And consistently they are misreading her. She looks super well put together. She's very lovely. She's always done perfectly. Hair perfect, makeup perfect, everything's perfect. This young woman is an absolute mess on the inside. And they fight themselves seeing it, right? The things that they try to tell her. She's been told she's got entities and demons and all kinds of stuff, because when the reader is picking up on her own inner angst and her own inner fear and negative inner dialogue or whatever, they're looking at her and they're not allowing themselves to believe what they are reading. And so they're choosing something else, that it has to be something that's not of this world, not of her. But it is of her. It's no entity. It's no demon. It's her own thinking. She's her own demon. And we're working on it, and she's getting better. So if you're listening today and you're one of those intuitive people, it doesn't mean it has to be your job. Maybe it's just, you know, you can feel it. Don't be distracted by the way somebody looks. Don't let that get in the way of what you're actually picking up on. Be gentle with people. Great time to look at this is in the work environment, because you have somebody over you who looks like, seems like, you want to believe, has it all together, knows what they're doing, is focused on work and the details, but they're people. Maybe they have control issues. Maybe they're a secret alcoholic. Maybe they've got a health crisis in their family. Like, everybody has things. We have to remember everybody is people. And if somebody is acting out, what they're looking for is not attention, it's connection. And you can connect by being gentle, by being compassionate, by giving them the information that they need. If you see your leadership freaking out and micromanaging, just go out of your way to give them the information that they need. They'll calm down, right? If you see your partner or your child or your friend just in a tizzy freaking out, take a minute, quit thinking about yourself for just a second, and let's look at what do they need. Maybe they just need the bell of mindfulness. Maybe they just need someone to put their hand on them and say, hey, how you doing today? How are your kids? How are you feeling? Maybe they just need a list of all the things you're working on at work. Maybe they just need to hear you say, I promise I'll get the backyard mowed before your party. Whatever it is. Beloved, we all have things. And the more we can celebrate each other's successes, the better off we will all be. So I want you to ask yourself, when do I resist the success for others? When do I resist the success of others? And when do I celebrate it? When does it feel good to me? Sometimes this is self-serving, right? If you are an advocate on behalf of your own child and you see other people who are advocates with successes, then you see very easily, this is positive for my child, and therefore we're going to celebrate that success again and again and again and again and again. And that's great, don't get me wrong. But if that's the only place you choose to enjoy the success of others, it's time that you let that spread outward into all the areas of your life. And when you feel that resistance, ask yourself why. Why do I resist being happy for this person? Why do I resist being excited for them? I was having this conversation with a couple of people recently, which is part of what sparked this podcast episode. And one of the things that one of my clients brought up is, what about the people who walk around telling other people they're beautiful all the time? And there's a few things about that. For some people, it's really their job. My eyebrow girl, the girl who waxes my eyebrows, woman, I should never call her a girl. She is a full-grown woman. She literally just spends the whole 5 minutes it takes telling me how amazing and beautiful and wonderful I am. And I always laugh at her and I say, you know, you don't need to do that with me. And one day she did admit, you know, I mean it, but it's part of my job. Okay, maybe. Right? If that's part of your job, just be careful that you're still authentic. But I digress. The conversation that we had was that, or that she brought up, was that a lot of times the person who's going around telling other women how beautiful they are, it is actually a way that they're fighting against their own envy, their own insecurity. It takes some of that sense of competition off when they go, wow, you are beautiful. Suddenly it doesn't feel like this secret in the room anymore. I can appreciate that. So maybe that's where we start when we have that problem, right? You, instead of just resisting and rolling your eyes or just even thinking, ugh, right? Maybe you pause. And you make the comment, congratulations. You make the comment for yourself, this, the equivalent, or something better. You affirm, there is that example of success. And perhaps you go a step farther and you wish for them that they have equal or greater success in every part of their life. And let's be fair, we all know that there are people who are full of it online. If you get that sense, and affirm for them that they have the confidence on the inside to not need to boast. Everybody is seeking connection, beloved, not attention. Remember that all the time. Our children, when they're acting crazy or adorable or wanting to talk to us or whatever it is, it's connection, not attention. When someone is showing off, right, being cocky, they're seeking connection, not attention, right? Maybe we can say they're seeking money too, right? But who goes for these connection-seeking things as ways of earning money if they're not seeking connection, right? We're not going to go into the world and put attention on ourselves just because we want to be that. I mean, very few people. There's the occasional narcissist, I imagine. But let's be clear. Narcissism is an intense need for connection and support from other people, just gone about in the wrong way. Now, let's be clear. That doesn't mean you hang out with a narcissist who's treating you badly. Don't get me twisted. But beloved, let's make sure that we all look at envy with new eyes, within ourselves and within others. This will make us more compassionate, more happy, and more genuine. Let's let that be our goal. Let's let that be what we affirm for everyone in this planet, this universe. Let's make sure that we are all consciously and intentionally working towards this state of harmony, community, and ultimately the human family. Until next time, beloved, namaste.
Hi, beauties. My name is Megan, and I couldn't pass up an opportunity to share who Jennifer Hall really is with all of you. Jennifer is a gifted woman who loves to share the tips and tricks of mastering lessons from the universe through real-life experiences. When I found Jennifer about 2 years ago, I did not know what to expect. My past conditioning had me fearing psychics and avoiding them, and that was something I overcame within my first conversation with Jennifer. She has no desire to control you or make decisions for you, but she will tell you what's best for your highest good, and it's up to you to do the work or not. It's very common for people to seek out a psychic to read the future, and sure, it's human nature to want to know what we don't know to find the certainty in life, but what you actually get through Jennifer is so much deeper than knowing with certainty. It's really about how to grow through the uncertainty and embrace the power each of us hold deep within our own sovereignty and untapped gifts. Jennifer has helped me grow through many lessons in life. Relationship lessons with my husband of 15 years, my gifted and stubborn children, career lessons that involved overcoming complacency and dealing with difficult bosses, and of course, lessons for my spiritual growth and tapping into and embodying my own authenticity. Her podcast, Lessons from the Universe, is food for the soul. It is channeled wisdom, and it is personal wisdom that she picked up as she learned and grew into who she is today. Jennifer is well known and sought out. I have people from all over the world reaching out to me to provide a referral to her so that she can speak with them and they're able to meet her. This podcast makes it possible for people all over the world to receive her messages and receive the love that she pours into the collective. If you aren't a patron today, please consider becoming one and donating as much as $1 per month. If all of her beloved fans donated just $1, it would make an amazing impact on her offerings to the world. I meet with Jennifer monthly, and I'm also a patron because I believe so much in the lessons from the universe, and I have witnessed the beauty in learning and growing, the beauty in overcoming and smashing the many bubbles of conditioning that I succumbed to in my past. I have a new, more powerful story, and a big part of this story is embracing lessons from the universe. Your story will continue to change, and your donations will help many others change their stories across the globe, allowing the story of the collective to change for the best as well. If you love and live through the lessons from the universe as much as I do, like, share, and become a patron, and watch Lessons from the Universe take the rest of the world by surprise in the best ways possible. Sending light and love to all of you. Namaste.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of Lessons from the Universe with Jennifer Hall. If you haven't already, I want to personally invite you to come out and find me on social media and at my webpage, psychicjenniferhall.com. If you are inspired by the podcast and want more content, consider clicking that patron button on Podbean, or you can support the show at paypal.me/universallessonsllc, or by visiting our swag shop at spreadshirt.com. You can find the direct link on my Facebook page and my webpage. If you have questions, consider attending one of my quarterly seminars here in Dallas, or book your own educational session from anywhere in the world using the link that you can find on Facebook or on my webpage. I am sending each of you love, light, clarity, and wisdom, and I want you to know that whether you realize it or not, there's a little brunette with a podcast that's got your back.